Say Wednesday, man, what an amazing, incredible Bible study that was. And it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with everybody who was on there. They dug into the word. They highlighted scriptures. They bought out scripture. They bought out revelation. And God helped all of us as it related to our mind, and specifically Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we're going to put some points up. I gave you these points last week. We're going to put them up. We're going to stay on this until it gets out of our head into our hearts. Out of our head into our hearts. And that's why many times, I'm always asking you to put your hand on your chest, representing your heart, the center of you, and say things like, Holy Spirit, fill me. Well, when the Holy Spirit fills you, he's filling you with heaven's opinion. He's filling you with heaven's opinion. But I will tell you that the gateway, the doors, the branches that lead to the heart come from all the other areas of you. So it's your mind, your thoughts, it's your imagination, it's your emotions. Y'all hear them down there singing? They're getting it in. They're getting it in. Hey, let's scream on count of three. One, two. Wait. Let's scream at the count of three. Y'all sound so good. Okay, but do it as loud as you can so that it shocks them. And they're like, what is that? We can explain it to them later. Y'all sound so good on three. One, two, three.
Y'all sound so good.
All right. If you're visiting with us, yeah, I'm a little, it comes and goes. So, this is really important to understand, because sometimes, are they up here? Oh, okay, I thought somebody's coming up. Our heart is going to be based on the fullness of what comes in other areas. That's why a priority verse, everybody say priority verse. Priority verse. Say it again. Say priority verse. Proverbs 4:23. Can you put that up? I don't know if you can pull that up real quick. And it doesn't matter the translation right now. I think they're all pretty good. Proverbs 4:23. I think they might be having some challenges with that. So you guys find it in your passage. Proverbs 4:23. This is what it says that I've committed to memory. Above all else, guard your heart. It's priority. And it's not priority just in terms of, oh, there it is, here it is. Look at what it says in the New King James Version. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. One translation says, the forces of life. Another translation says, as I said earlier, above everything else that you're dealing with, everything else that you work on, this is priority. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? Well, the mind and the thoughts are going to end up getting to the heart. The emotions are going to end up getting to your heart. Your attitude and your opinion, it's going to get into the heart. That's why you have to guard it to make sure only what comes from heaven, his opinion, his thoughts, his attitudes, his ways, his heart, the actions of heaven, all of it. That's what you want to say. Oh, you can come in. No, you can't come in. That thought I can go with. On Wednesday night, one of the passages that came up was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and a little bit more in that passage. And this is what Paul told that particular church. He says, when you're dealing with your mind, cast down imaginations And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought. Everybody say every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Which means that I have to slow my life down in such a way where the things that I'm thinking about, it's as though Jesus were at the gate of my heart and my mind and saying, yes, I approve that. Yes, I approve that. This is how you guard your heart. And this is one of the ways that we bring the culture of heaven to our lives, and this is how we renew our mind. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Go back. I'm sorry. I had my eyes closed. I didn't know you guys had that up there. So let's keep that up there, and we're going to go through a few verses on this so everybody can read it for themselves. Look at what this says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy or natural. King James Version in Ephesians chapter 6, it says we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight flesh and blood. So here he's talking about the same thing. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Everybody say, mighty through God. For pulling down strongholds. All right, so strongholds exist in your mind. Those are the areas where the enemy wants to get, justification for you to say and think and be a particular way that may be outside of God's way. And so he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. The way we fight, again, using a parallel scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, that's a good amount. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness and high places. That's where we're fighting. And look what it says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Remember, strongholds are in our mind. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, what's God's opinion? How does he feel about it? The knowledge of God, bringing every thought, everybody say every thought, not some thoughts, every thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I want to encourage you, get home. When you get home, put that on the refrigerator. Put it on an index card. When I was learning how to memorize scripture years ago, I had index cards for the verse that I wanted to memorize. And I would just carry it in my pocket, in my suit pocket, carry it, you know, in my Bible or wherever. Sometimes in my wallet back then when you had wallets like that. And all throughout the day, because I'm on a journey to remember what God says. So casting down imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay. And then lunchtime, I pull that thing out again. Or something else comes up and I pull it out again. Because I need to commit it to my mind so that it gets in my heart so that I can then live out how God feels about it in my everyday. And we need to do that all the time. You never get to a place where you say you've arrived. You never get to a place that says, I did that years ago, I'm good. No, every day, even in my own life, I have to constantly dust stuff off of my mind. I dust. My son Jordan and I were cleaning the house. Pam was doing some cooking, and we were cleaning the house and dusting and, you know, in the corners, getting up cobwebs. Today is they're celebrating my mother-in-law, Pam's mom. She turned 92. Praise God for that. And she... Yeah, that's fine. You can clap. Worship God for 92 years old. And so she was making the potato salad. There it is again, the potato salad. She was making some potato salad, and Jordan and I were dusting, and there were some errors. And we had to pull things out. We had to pull chairs out and get the dust. We had to, when we were dealing with the table, the coffee table and all, we had to move the lamp to the side because there was a ring of dust. It had to be intentional. The entertainment center, there were books on a particular part of the table. We have to move them over and dust. If you're not intentional about dusting the cobwebs of your mind then things will begin to hide and you will justify why it's okay to think like that, ultimately giving way for a stronghold. It's a stronghold. It's a way of thinking where you say, it's okay. And that's what the enemy looks for. The enemy looks for agreement from you in your thoughts so that now he doesn't have to do anything. You justify why you're the way you are. Thanks, Pastor Tito. You justify. That's why I'm the way I am. Because my mom died. And if God didn't take my mom, I wouldn't be bitter. But he knows my heart. That's a stronghold. And you have to find God's opinion when he says his ways are higher than my ways. And God is always good. So that when the enemy tries to bring something, a brick, that he can hide in. Ultimately, he wants to get a house going on in your mind. If he can get a brick and then another brick and another brick, you find in the book of Luke, it says, when a strong man is armed, his goods are at peace. But then when the stronger than he shall come upon him, he gets rid of all of his armor. All those bricks go away. How do the bricks go away? The word of God. I got to find out God's opinion. That brick by brick, I'm knocking down. Why it's okay for this and why it's okay for that. It's okay to watch porn because God knows I have issues and it's not real sex, but God knows I need a release. No! I need what the word of God says. That's just one piece of it. That's just one piece. You need to look at your own life and ask, Lord, what strongholds are the enemy bringing in my mind? And as I said on Wednesday night, I apologize ahead of time. Sorry, honey. Sorry. I said on Wednesday night that they don't start off as strongholds. They start off as little things. They start off as a toehold or a foothold, right? I was teaching on this one time. I almost bought a door here. You know, you can get a door already in the frame from Home Depot. And I was going to get a door. I was gonna put that door up here just to show in fun what Pam and I go through sometimes. Sometimes I'll do something, okay? I'll tell the truth on that. Is that good? Sometimes I'll do something. Yes. I'll do something. I'll pick on her. And then quickly, I'll run. And she's quick. And so I'm running. Kitchen, dining room, coming around steps, running up the steps. I'm hauling, I'm moving. I get all the way to the end, and here's our bedroom, and I go in, and I close the door. I try to close the door, but there she is. She's got her toe in there. And if I can't get that toe out, it's only a matter of time before she ate. She's in, and she's done it. She's done it. She wiggles and gets her foot in there. So now she has more of a hold. And then the next thing you know, she's got half the body in. You know what that's called? That's the stronghold. That's the stronghold. So we can't allow the enemy to get little holds in our lives. And here's the deal. Just like that house that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter, I think it's 10. It might be 11. But because they were saying stuff like, you know, oh, you're healing and you're casting out demons. Look, The prince of demons is casting out demons. Jesus said, a house divided itself against itself can't stand. He says, how is the devil going to cast out the devil? He says, but when a strong man, and he calls him strong, and that's not giving highlight to the enemy, it's just calling it what it is. When a strong man is armed, his goods are at peace. We're talking about the mind. Remember, strongholds exist in the mind. Strong man is armed, his goods are at peace, which means that I've got fortification, and it's strong. And if we're talking about stronghold, now we're talking about fortified areas in your mind that the enemy is able to chill. And so he says, when a strong man is armed, his goods are at peace. He doesn't have to worry about a thing. Because he's armed. The bricks are the thoughts that allow him to stay. That's why when things come up, Julie brought this up on Wednesday night in our Bible study. We've got to be quick to, what was that word you used? Denounce, yes. Renounce and denounce that agreement. If you don't and you just let those thoughts stay, say something happened, you said something, you did something, you whatever, and you realize you partnered with the enemy, you got to renounce. Lord, I renounce that. And I break that agreement. I'm going to ask you, this is for your life. This is for your life. What areas in your life do you have to renounce? Now, I will tell you, you know, Pastor Pam can chase me around the house today and I'll be scared. But listen to this, though. There came a time, because many of you remember, she had back surgery in October, I think October 30th, 2023. And coming out of that surgery, I mean, she could barely move. And, you know, she could barely get out of bed. I had to walk her, Pennsylvania Hospital, Philadelphia, had to walk her to the bathroom. Just step, step, step. We got home after being in the hospital for 2 weeks and then being in a rehab for another week and a half or whatever. She's laying there. And the pain is excruciating. Here's one reason why the pain was so bad. Because people, and they're fallible people, these are not bad people, these are not wicked people, but sometimes they forget, so they weren't bringing in her medication on time. Have you guys ever experienced that with a family member or even yourself in a hospital and the medication's not coming timely? They had the rhythm of it at Pennsylvania Hospital, but once we got to the rehab, man, totally different, everything's different. And she was, and there she is, and I'm sitting in the room, listening to her cry, weep. And I remember the conversations where she had to talk to herself and say what the Word of God said. Now, in those moments, and she will tell you, it was easier for her to just say, you know what? Lord, what did I do? Why do I deserve this? How come this is happening? Why didn't it go the way we thought it was going to go? How come the injections didn't work? How come the physical therapy didn't work? This is the stuff. But at some point, she said, I will say of the Lord, and by his stripes, I am healed. All the things that Julie's trying to say when we were talking about healing, apart from the song, because songs are great and we need to sing them, but at some point, we need to actually say and declare, I will say of the Lord, by his stripes, I am healed. As I move, and I would say to her sometimes, I said, you know, what are you doing? She's like, I'm stretching. And she's stretching with the Word of God. Now, at the end of the day, look at that girl. She's saying stuff. And I'll be honest with you, she was saying stuff not just about the bones and the muscles, because with all of that stuff, she gained a lot of weight. That medication had her gaining so much weight. And she'd look in the closet and say, you know what? Ugh, I can't fit these clothes. These clothes. And she says, you know what? I've got self-control. I've got discipline. I am going to lose. And she would say these things. And there she is on the bike. And not just, you know, listening or whatever. She's listening to the Word of God, peddling the Word of God. She's saying things at night. No, I am not bound to food. No, I am not bound to that. And at one point, I think she had lost 50 pounds. But that wasn't just with willpower. That was her saying, I'm going to take the Word of God and use it in my life. And we give you these things, and she can preach this message so much better than I can. But we give you these things as testimonies to say when the Word says it, you've got to work to get your mind aligned with the Word of God. And if we're going to bring heaven here, then we got to make sure we start thinking like heaven. Everybody say this. Say, Lord, help me to think like you. Holy Spirit, help me to have the mind of Christ.
All right.
So let's look at this now. Let's look at this. Did we go to, did we do Romans yet? I don't think we did Romans yet. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. We'll start out with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or Christians, sisters, all of it, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. One person bought out on Wednesday night. They said, before we start talking about the mind, just like it does in Scripture, before we start talking about that, we have to be willing to give God what is acceptable to him, even in our minds. And I think it was, Brittany. She bought up Genesis chapter 4, where Cain tried to give an acceptable offering to God on his part, but Abel gave an acceptable offering on God's part. We can't figure out what's acceptable to God and say, God, I'm going to give you this, and think that it's going to be okay with God. No. We present ourselves living sacrifices. Everybody say holy. Acceptable to God. And that's our reasonable. That's our reasonable service. Reasonable service. All right, so let's get into this now. Let's get into this. Then it says, and next verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, once again, an acceptable, perfect will of God. Verse 3. I think that only gave them verse 2 in my notes. So verse 3. Well, we'll get to verse 3 at another time because I don't want to get off from my point. So that's our basics. That's our basics. So this is what I said last week, and I'll give it to you again. We often think a renewed mind means thinking better. It does mean thinking better, but in heaven's terms, it means thinking completely different. That's really what repentance is. We repent in our minds, we repent in our hearts, we repent in our flesh. We think differently, we allow ourselves to feel differently, we allow ourselves to move differently. So I was going that way, but now I'm going this way. And it involves our minds, it involves our emotions, it involves our attitude, it involves our bodies, it involves our actions. In heaven's terms, it means thinking completely different. Look, the renewed mind doesn't just resist sin, it recognizes kingdom reality. Earth says, be realistic. Heaven says, with God, all things are possible. Earth says, self-preserve. Heaven says, it's better to give than receive. A renewed mind expects the supernatural, not as fantasy, but as a normal life. The renewed mind validates and approves what God says before he performs it. Let's say that. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord, help me to validate and approve what you say before you perform it. Before you perform it. That you get that from Romans chapter 4, where it says that we should be like Abraham, who called those things that were not as though they were. See, I want to approve what God says before it happens. He says, this is what he says about Abraham in chapter 4, book of Romans. He says, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. But you got to be fully persuaded. How do you get fully persuaded in your heart? It's got to come first in your mind. Psalm 1st chapter. And we're not going to go there. I'm just going to quote it for you. And I want to ask you to write it down so you can spend some time meditating on it. Psalm, the first chapter, says this: blessed is the man. Blessed, in the Amplified version, it says happy, fortunate, to be envied. There's another description in there. I can't remember what that is. What is it? Highly favored is the man or the woman who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of the sinner, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Here it goes. And as a result, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season. Whatever he does will prosper. Now, it gives you the parallel and tells you about the ungodly, but that's the godly part that we have to make sure we line up with. How does it start? Meditating the word of God by day and by night. Day and night. Pastor, you know, I heard somebody say this years ago. It was so funny. Then I told that to somebody, and now they're always giving it back to me. Pastor, every time I go to read the word of God, I fall asleep. Every time I go, I said, well, tell me what your posture is. He says, well, I open my Bible up, I lay on the bed, hands around the air, and then I try to meditate the word of God. And then 20 minutes later, I wake up. Well, you got to change your posture. He said, I just can't. I just can't do it. He says, well, try this. Go and stand on the edge of the bathtub. And then start meditating on the word of God. Look at the person next to you and say, you won't go to sleep. If you go to sleep, you'll probably go to heaven. So we must get the word of God in us. So the first point that we brought out last week was the renewed mind thinks from heaven, not towards heaven. In other words, we don't come up with our ideas and our ways like Cain did and then say, heaven, approve this. No, we have to find out how heaven feels and then come here. Bring heaven here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what Jesus went preaching. He says he came preaching the kingdom of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, can we go back to verse 1? Just as a setup. This is Colossians, and you can read this any version you want, but Colossians 3, starting with verse 1. It says, if you have been, there it is, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities, everybody say realities, of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. You can stay in that version, just go to the next one. Verse 2, it says, now set your mind. Now, set your mind. I see that passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7 ends up with Paul saying, I'm miserable because the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I do, I hate. And the things that I should be doing, I don't do. And as a result of this, I'm miserable. He says, oh, miserable, or one translation says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Because anytime in that same passage, he says, whenever I would do good, evil is present. That's why I said we got to dust every day. Every day. No matter when I want to do the right thing, this says, let's go in a different direction. And whether that's talking about extreme things like lust and pride and anger and bitterness and jealousy and you know, wrath, party spirit, all of this, even if it's all of that, but also when it's like, I don't feel like believing God. I don't feel like trusting God. I don't feel like standing on the word of God for my healing or for my deliverance. I don't feel like saying I'm called of the Lord and walking and using my gifts and my talents for. I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. I don't want to do it. Whenever you get to that place, this is what it says in Romans chapter 8. He says, the person whose mind is aligned with God, the Amplified Version says it like this, intentionally sets their minds on things of heaven. If I'm going to be that spiritual person that's aligned with heaven, that brings heaven here, heavenly minded, then I have to, and here's the phrase, intentionally set my mind. Which means that we've got a responsibility. We can't just say, oh, Lord, you know, take my mind. And just like I love that song that Naomi sings sometimes when it's talking about holiness. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. And then the course or bridge or whatever, it says, take my mind. No. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. And I sing that song. Sometimes I sing that song and I cry. I love that song, even if I get the words. Most of the time I got them backwards, you know. But then the Holy Spirit says, I'll do what you allow me to do. So if you say, you want me to take your mind, then let's then go to the Word of God and talk about that particular issue and now ask me for the power to now do it the way God says do it. See, that's now, instead of leaving it at an altar moment, and I love coming to the altar and getting on knees and hands laid on me. I love those weeping times. There are times when this place is quiet, and I come here and I get on the piano and I have a time of just dedication and rededication to the Lord. Pastor, I thought you were dedicated. Trust me, every day we've got to dedicate ourselves to God. That's why we have private devotions, because we are daily devotions, we are re-devoting ourselves to the Lord. I have to do that with Pam. Pam and I have to do it all the time. That's why we say, I love you. And I appreciate you. And then we have to pause and say, okay, if I said something that hurt you, I'm really, really sorry. And there are times when there are things that sometimes need to be said, but then there are times that, you know, I say it or she says it. We have to redevote, recommit. And I've had this ring. It's hard to get off. I've had this ring on my fingers, and if you look close, there is such a deep imprint in my finger. Because I've had this ring on my finger since 1987. And inside the inscription says, to Terry, love Pam. But this is not enough to bring about an active devotion to that woman. I have to daily, throughout the day. And she's not God. The best decisions I've ever made in my life is my relationship with God the Father and her afterwards. But this one, in order to have a tight, deep, I have to recommit and redevote. Well, you got the ring. No. And it's the same way with God. Oh, I can remember when I gave my life to Jesus. How many of you remember when you gave your life to Jesus? Do you remember? Could you tell the story? Like the Apostle Paul, can you testify? I was on the road to Damascus. A light shone from heaven. I looked up. I fell off my horse. I heard a voice saying, why are you persecuting me? I said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. It's hard. It's hard to keep going at this thing with you. And then he said, what would you have me to do? There was a level of submission. What was your moment like? But I will tell you, no matter what it was, like the Apostle Paul, you have to die daily. Every day, I die daily. And sometimes we got to die not just daily, but throughout the day. How many of you have to die throughout the day? I got to die throughout the day. But that's what happens when you say, I want to renew my mind with the Word of God. So set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We naturally expect the negative. Heaven expects glory. And press into it. Jesus is returning for a glorious church, not a fearful one. A church that thinks like him, sees like him, believes like him. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Say, I want to be a part of that church that he comes back for. I don't want a God that is made in my image. I want to be remade in his. I don't want to take God and put him in my way of being like a jack in the box. Whenever we want God's opinion, we turn it. Where you at, God? Oh, there you are. Good, because I was turning it. No. Lord, how do you want me to think? And then help me, Holy Spirit. How do you want me to feel? And then help me. So the first point is, the renewed mind thinks from heaven, not towards heaven. The second, well, I don't want to move on. Sometimes I move too quick. I don't want to move too quick on this. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Faith gives understanding. Faith gives understanding. Look at what it says. Hebrews 11:3. Can you guys pull that up? Look at this. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse. It says, I want to do 3 first, and so I'll just read it. I'll read it up here, and you keep that one up there. You keep that one up there. Hebrews 11:3. You know, 1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2, it says, for by it, talking about faith, the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report, one translation says. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I want to say that again. By faith we understand that things which are seen were not made by things which appear. You go to that third one. I want to read that third one again. You go to verse 3. Look, it says, by faith we understand. Let's read this together. Get some movement. Everybody say 1, 3. 1, 2, 3. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Oh, that's huge. That's huge. Because sometimes we try and use what we see to get what God says we can have. And faith, it says we understand faith in this way. The world, it wasn't formed by the world. The worlds were formed by the word of God, so that what we see did not come from anything that we're looking at. It's huge now. So heaven's got to come here. When we start thinking like heaven, it changes how we think. That's why when I was talking about healing with Pam or healing with you or provision or restoration, you know, Julie brought out a whole lot of issues that could come up in an individual's life and probably hit a lot of what some of you and some of us and all of us may be going through. But the healing, the deliverance, the restoration, the provision, it's in the word of God first. It's God's command first before we see it. Before we see it. I'll give you another one of my points. I've got your points, and then I've got my own personal points. Here's another personal point. Real faith doesn't deny the problem. It just refuses to give the problem influence. So let's go back to Pam's body, or go to your body, or go to my body. It says, I'm not going to deny the existence of sickness and disease. I'm just going to deny its right to influence me. I'm just going to deny its right to stay on my flesh. Because in the culture of heaven, nothing's impossible. And the cross, which Julie was alluding to earlier, on the cross, you find this in Isaiah chapter 53, by whose stripes you were healed. That's in heaven. That's how heaven feels about it. Remember, don't think on the things of the earth. Think on things of heaven. And so, well, Pastor Terry, what are you trying to say? That, you know, Pastor Pam's not sick? You know, let's talk about that, because you know he's sick. She's sick. I'm looking right at her. She's in the hospital bed. She's in the walker. She's in the wheelchair. She's got crutches. You're having to walk her up the steps. It's real. Pastor Terry, you trying to say it's not real? No. I'm just not going to allow that to influence my faith, her faith, and what God has already said. And God says, by Jesus' stripes, she's healed. That's why you can't go off of things which appear. When God gives a command, don't start looking around. When God gives a command, start looking up. Look at point number two. Well, let me just say this before I go to point number two. We got to wrap this up. The renewed mind doesn't ask, what do I see? It asks, what does heaven see? That's what the renewed mind asks. Point number two, and we'll have to stop on point number two. Thanksgiving unlocks miracles. Thanksgiving unlocks miracles. Can we go to John chapter 6? St. John chapter 6. We'll unpack a little bit of this more on Wednesday. But look at John chapter 6. I want to read through this real quick, but you guys catch this. It says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Everybody say, Jesus healed the sick. Look at verse 3. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. Verse 4, you can just keep going. It was nearly time for Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd. Now follow this, look. Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to him to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, and remember, he's training Philip. He says, where can we buy food to feed all these people? He was testing Philip. For he, Jesus, already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we were to work for months, we would never have enough money to feed them. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone were about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. I want you to follow this now. He took the loaves, and what did he do? Everybody say it. Gave thanks to God. And he distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. What did he do with the fish? He gave thanks to God, and then he distributed. And all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, everybody say full, Jesus told the disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, what was the first thing that Jesus did? He already knew what was in his head. He was trying to see if the guys were following his pattern of training. The first thing Jesus did was thank God. He didn't thank God for what he saw. He thanked him for what heaven knew was coming. He says, oh, he was just thanking God that he had some food. No, 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 no. He's like, we've got something in our hand. And man, I wish I had time for more, but I don't. He had something in his hand. You know what he had in his hand? Seed. Always thank God for the seed. There is seed in your hand, small as it is. Father, thank you for this, because this you're going to turn into more, which is why he says, don't despise small beginnings. No. If I can steward the seed, I can have more. It's not looking at this and say, oh, God, I just thank you that you gave me this. No. Thank you that more is coming because I got seed. And that's why he says, if you have faith, one of my next points, I don't want to go too far back there because then I'll start preaching more. If you have faith the size of, because at one point the guys were like, well, Lord, increase our faith. You don't need more faith. You got seed. And it says in the book, in the book of Acts, he has given every man a measure, in the book of Romans, a measure of faith. So we already have, that's why anybody can get born again anytime, anywhere on the face of the planet. God's grace and his goodness didn't say, because Lazarus's hair is soft, I would touch it, I haven't gotten approval, but it's soft and curly and all of that. He doesn't love him more than he loves me. And my hair is dry, and I do all kinds of stuff to my hair. But it's not based. The promises of God aren't based on that. The promises of God aren't based on height. I'm not as tall as James walking down here. How tall are you, James? 6'7". I can't compete. So to get the promises of God, I don't have to have that. Is she here? Is Lorna here? Lorna, that thing that you have on. Did you make that? No, you didn't make that one. Lorna has some crocheting giftings and techniques. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, you made that? I can't compete with that. And if you are different than the world's culture and standard of beauty and intelligence and giftings and finances and resources, you can't compete. But thanks be to God, he has given every man a measure of faith. You don't need more faith. You need less unbelief. They said, Lord, increase our faith. He says, if you had the size, your faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. He says, the smallest seed produces in the forest the biggest tree. So Jesus said, all I got, 2 fish, 5 loaves. Oh, God, thank you for the seed. He's not, oh, thank you for this little bit we have, Lord. We're just so humbled and great. No. He came preaching heaven's perspective. Heaven already saw the miracle. So Jesus like, oh, thank you, Father, for putting something in my hand. And I ask you guys the question, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Because you have the ability to believe God based on the faith that he's given you. With God, all things are possible. And if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say even to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but you have whatever you say. We have to get there. We're going to go over this on Wednesday, and we'll teach another part of it next week. Somehow we will. I told you that my brother passed away, and so the service is this Saturday. And up in Carlisle, PA, and I need you guys to pray. You got seed, we've got relationship, we've got heart, so God can come and he can heal. And they want me to do the officiating for my little brother's service. And I know that that's going to be something. But I got faith the size of a mustard seed. So I'm not going to run from it. I don't want it to be 10 years down the line and say, man, I wish I would have said some things for Chris. No, here it is. And not only that, people need to hear a good perspective of death. As he went to be with the presence of the Lord. But I ask you guys to pray for me. But whoever preaches next week, Whether I get back in town, because it's like 3 hours away, whether I get back in town to do it Wednesday or next Sunday, we're going to go to the next level of trying to think heavenly minded. Heavenly minded just doesn't mean walking all back into hallelujah, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's beautiful. It says, build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, yes, Lord, thank you. But when it comes time to declaring, I'm going to look and see like Jesus. What do I have in my hand? There was a huge downpour, but it started with a cloud the size of a man's hand. What do you have in your hand? What's the little that God is giving you? Lord, you don't know what's going on in my marriage. You don't know what's going on with my kids. Do you have faith? Little. All you need is a little bit. God can change things and turn them around. And turn them around. And even for you that are here, God took seed, which is his son, the Lord Jesus. I went to a prayer gathering on a Friday morning, Pam and I did, out in King of Prussia. Oh, it's a businessman's gathering, and it's just turned into just hundreds and hundreds of people. And they had a speaker, and because Veterans Day is coming up, they had this retired officer. He's a young man, and he flew all the trips to Desert Storm, Afghanistan. He told the story how there was this one guy who had gotten caught behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. And he's telling this story. He says they knew going in that they were going to lose soldiers just trying to rescue this one. And sure enough, they did. They battled and talked about it and how do we figure it out. And he was on the committee that made the choice. You know, his commanding officer was the one who made the decision, but the commanding officer came to him and he says, I need you, because he was a chaplain, to pray. I need you to pray for me because we got to get this guy out. And if you went in on foot to get him, you were sure to get your guys killed. And so if you went in through helicopter, there was still risk, but not as much. So they loaded up the helicopter with a few dozen soldiers. These are Navy SEALs, the best of the best, going in to get this one soldier. And there were two of them that went. And sure enough, the first helicopter, it came in. As soon as it came over the ridge, came under enemy fire. These missiles were launched. And in the sky, this helicopter burst into flames. It hit the ground and in a ball of fire. And everyone who was on that helicopter, here comes the second one right off the ridge. And it came under fire from the ground. Just so much shooting coming up under. And it went down. But there were those that were on that one that were able to get in. And they rescued that one guy. He said to everybody in the audience, he said, that broke our heart when we came back and we were, character, everything was being assassinated. Character of my commanding officer was being assassinated because he made the choice to give up all these lives to save that one. Now, everybody who was in the military knew. We knew what we signed up for. We knew, we all knew. The ones who got in the planes, the ones they got in the helicopter, they knew what they were signing up for. And he closed by saying, God knew what he was signing up for when he sent Jesus. All of heaven came for the one. It says, for God so loved the world, but the reality is, God was willing to bankrupt heaven for one. And he knew that they would kill him. He would suffer. He knew that he would die. Yet, he still went in. He said, I stand before you here today excited that we were able to save that one soldier. Yeah, but you gave up so much. Yeah, but that's how heaven thinks. And if you're here today, I want you to know that God gave up everything for you. And he'll do it again. And he'll do it again. And he'll do it again. Over and over and over, that same blood that ran down that cross, it was for you. Let me see a show of hands of those that were that lone soldier, that lone individual that heaven came to rescue. Are you in here? Are you that one person he came to rescue? That's how kingdom works. Heaven thinks about things differently. So don't think you've done too much, you've gone too far, you've said too much. Heaven came for you. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace that reaches out for us, for all of us. And we thank you of how you think. Help us all to think like you. And for those that came in today that didn't know you, those that are online that never accepted you, Father, I pray that they will be overwhelmed by your love, not by the talk, not by even the songs and the pews and the atmosphere. Lord, use them, but may they understand the depth of your love and give their life to Jesus, saying, Jesus, come into my life. I turn away from my sin. And I make you my Lord. In Jesus' name. For all of us that are here, I want to pray over you.